Good morning, my friends, and welcome to the Heritage Hour. I'm Mark Gonzalez, your pastoral encourager here in Southwest Florida, and I'm so delighted to be with you on this Saturday morning, as we've been doing for over 30 years now, and that's because of my good friends over at Kingdom 91.5 FM, serving all of Southwest Florida, and our friends up at WAEC Love 860, serving the greater Atlanta area on air, and also online at iHeartRadio and TuneIn Radio. And then we have our friends at WTMR 800 AM serving New Jersey and Philadelphia. And what a joy it is just to come together to sit at the feet of the Lord and let Him speak to us heart to heart. Well, if you've been with us, you know that we are getting ready to wrap up a monthly series on a particular portrait of God that I call He is our fruitful oneness. And we've been doing this for the last three messages. This is the fourth and final one when we get through our list of 10 takeaways under this marvelous portrait about how the Lord is our fruitful oneness. And if you have your Bibles, you can start making your way over to Ephesians chapter 5, where we'll pick up our journey today to wrap it up. And as you're making your way there, just a quick reminder that all of these messages and more are archived on my website. That's markpg.org. And if you go to markpg.org, you'll see a series of gray boxes. Click on the broadcasts box, and that'll take you to another landing page that'll have portraits of God and a box there. Just click on that one, and you'll have the list of these 27-minute broadcasts that you can catch up or review or share with others. By the way, on the first landing page, those other gray boxes are things like three-minute videos. If you click on the video box, there are one-page outlines of great Bible topics, character qualities, hot topics to get you through a journey on that. And that's under the printed guides box. There's also another box that has articles that I've written, Whispers of God for area publications here. All of them designed to do one thing: help you hear God. And that's what we'd like to do this morning. And it's our custom as we get ready to listen for the Lord to ask Him to speak. So let's go before the Lord, shall we? Lord, we're so grateful You give us the opportunity to come together just to sit at Your feet and gaze in Your eyes and let us listen for Your heart. Lord, we open our hearts to receive what You have for us, particularly in this portrait of how You are our fruitful oneness, the deepest layer of what it is to be in Christ and to live the Christian life and to experience You in greater and greater depths. So, Lord, as we swim deeper and deeper in discovering You, Your heart, Your ways, through all of these portraits throughout the Scripture, this month, this portrait of how You are our fruitful oneness, oh, I pray that we'll be able to receive what You intend for us. Thank You, Lord. We pray this in the powerful name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and by His precious cleansing and healing, transforming, empowering, and forgiving blood. Oh, amen. Amen and amen. All right, my friends, if you have your Bibles or your Bible app open, let's go over to Ephesians chapter 5. I'm going to pick it up in verses 31 through 32. Now, just by way of setting the table as we're getting ready to finish up this journey in discovering the Lord as our fruitful oneness, let me give you, like in a couple of minutes here, the first seven takeaways as we get ready to wind up with the final three. So the first one was how the Lord, our fruitful oneness, wants us to know that we are, number one, one from death to life. One from death to life. But God, being rich in mercy because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. We explored this theme, the resurrection. Death and resurrection is what God's always been about. He does it so well. It boggles our minds, but that is why our oneness in Him is literally taking us from having a dead spirit to having a spirit made alive to be together with Christ. Wow. Well, number two is how we're one with Christ in eternal life. We're one with Christ in eternal life. Bible says in Romans 6, the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. When we get saved, born again, when we become one with Christ, we become one with Him in eternal life. It's not just for this life, but it's for the ongoing eternal life and beyond. Then we come to number 3, how we're one with Christ in earthly life. All right, let's not zip to the eternity future, but let's also understand that here in this life, this rugged life that we live in this difficult, fallen world that we live in, we're to consider ourselves dead to sin, but alive to God. That's what our oneness is about. This is over in Romans chapter 6, verses 8 through 11, and you can unpack that and study that more and find that out in a previous broadcast. Number 4 was we're one with Christ with a new life. We're united with Him in the likeness of His death and also the likeness of His resurrection. We explored that at length. Number 5, we're one with Christ as new creations. If anyone's in Christ, we're a new creation. Old things passed away. All things have become new. It's like caterpillars being going through metamorphosis become a new creation, a butterfly. That is us. We're butterfly saints, not caterpillar sinners. And we talked about that at length in our second message of the series. Last time we talked about how we are one in newness of the Spirit. Talk about how the letter of the law kills, but the Spirit of the law gives life. Oh, listen to that one. So important. Number 7 was how we're one with God and Christ in unity. What a journey we took there. The thing is, the Godhead, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, they are one. Jesus in the great priestly prayer of John 17 is saying to the Father, you know, we are one. Just as they may be one, just as we are one. O Father God, I in them, you in me, that they may be perfected in unity. We enter into the unity and in the conversation with the Holy Trinity when we get saved and we become one with Him. Astounding! Go back and look at that one. That was message 3 last week. MarkPG.org is that website. But now we come to number 8. We are one with Christ like a husband and wife. I take you over to Ephesians chapter 5, verses 31 through 32, these two verses, where it says this: For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. And then verse 32, this mystery, that should give us a clue that this is deep, right? This mystery is great, but I'm speaking with reference to Christ and the church. My friend, our oneness with Christ is expressed in so many different ways. One of them is here in Ephesians 5, where it says we're one with Christ like a husband and wife. So let me drill into that a moment. We are in a covenant oneness with Christ, not a contractual agreement, but a covenant agreement. Huge difference. A covenant is based on trust, and it is unlimited. A contract is based on distrust, and it's very limited. Think about it. In the business world, you need to operate with contracts. Absolutely. Why? Because we don't trust the other party to do what they're supposed to do or to give me a piece of equipment that's proper unless, you know, we want proof of it and we want written documents. We go to attorneys. We go to attorneys and we want them to look at the contract. We want to negotiate the terms and we want a notary seal and all those kinds of things because we don't trust the other. And it's very limited. A contract's very limited. This, and this is what I'll do. This, and what you do more, no more, no less. But when we enter a covenant in marriage, we're saying on that day that we say, I do, everything I have, all that I am, I give to you. It's unlimited. The exact opposite of a contract, which is limited. How can we do that? Because we totally trust the other person. Covenants are based on trust, not distrust. Huge difference. Do you trust the Lord? Do you recognize how He's entrusting Himself to you and that He's unlimited in His love and His provision for us in His time and in His way? It's incredible. My friend, this is one of the richest examples of the oneness we're to have in Christ. And our earthly covenants are reflecting what we should have in Christ. To the degree we cultivate the intimacy of our covenant one with Christ, we will be able to transfer that to our earthly oneness with our mates, and vice versa. To the degree we experience oneness with our mates, then we're able to kind of apply it to the Lord as well. And this beautiful, intimate covenant oneness with Christ, like a husband and wife. Let me add one more thing here. I know that marriage is difficult. In fact, it is the most difficult thing we will do in our lives, trying to become one-hearted with another person who comes from a different background, different gifting, different gender, different experiences, different expectations, different levels of baggage, different kinds of baggage coming into the marriage. And we're doing the same thing from the other side. And you put those hot messes together, what do you got? You got a double hot mess, but also you got a love for one another that says, that's okay. I trust you. I love you. We will learn. We will grow. We will be changed by the Lord together. A loyalty that is spawned by that kind of love is a loyalty that's deep and rich and joyful. But let's be honest, marriage can sometimes turn into more of a sense of duty. I have to do this. I have to do that. You know, I'm required to do this. I am bound to this person. And that binding feel is more like a ball and chain sometimes. And then we're loyal out of duty rather than loyal out of love. Huge difference. And that happens in our relationship with Christ as well. If you think that the Christian life is about getting saved and doing just our duty to do our work before the Lord so he doesn't get mad at us and kick us out of salvation, it's not that way at all. He loved us while we were yet sinners. Unlimited trust. And we're so overwhelmed, we want to serve. We want to be loyal. We don't have to serve or have to be loyal. Loyalty based on love is hugely different than loyalty based on duty. And if you're stuck in duty in your Christian life and with your earthly mate, oh, my friend, get freed up. Go deeper in the Lord. And let him guide you in what it is to have a oneness with him like a husband and wife. That's a mutual bond based on agape love. Unconditional, unlimited, based on trust. Wow. Well, we come to number 9 now in our list of 10 takeaways about how the Lord is our fruitful oneness. Not only are we one with Christ like husband and wife, which was number 8, but we're also one with Christ to bear fruit. Well, now that kind of follows from a husband and wife. We're to, you know, bear fruit, well, and have kids and multiply the earth, right? So let's keep going, but in a little bit different way. I want you to see this over in Romans chapter 7, verse 4. Romans 7, verse 4, then we'll also take a peek at John 15. But Romans 7, 4 says this, "Therefore, my brethren, you also were made to die to the law through the body of Christ, so that you might be joined to one another." There's the oneness. To him, there's the oneness, who was raised from the dead in order that we might bear fruit for God. Now, let me be clear. The Bible says that we're to bear fruit, not make fruit. Sometimes we try to make fruit. What's the difference? It's a huge difference. I was in Missouri many years ago doing a Bible conference. Met a man who had an apple orchard. He invited me to go see it the next day, so I did. He pointed out to his orchard, said, "Interesting thing about this orchard is that those are actually wild apple tree trunks that years ago we cut off all of their branches and we shipped in Red Delicious apple branches from Washington and we engrafted them onto the wild apple tree trunks." And that's what you're seeing right there. And I'm thinking, wait, I'm a city boy. I know you don't nail it in or screw it in. How do you connect it to the trunk? Oh, that's a great question. You just cut off the end of the branch. You cut a slash into that trunk. We have some packing, organic packing material for the two, and we stick it together, tape it around the tree, and just go on up the trunk with all those little limbs. And I asked the question, I said, well, wait, how do you know if it works? And I'll never forget what he said. He said, well, son, if you get apples, it works. If you don't get apples, it didn't work. Is that just lovely or what? I said, oh, you mean sometimes the branches don't take? Oh, yeah, each tree, 1, 2, 3 branches, they don't bear fruit. For some reason, it didn't make the connection, even though we slid off the end and we slit the trunk and we packed it and we taped it the same way. It just didn't make the internal connection, but by the fruit you shall know. Wow. Does that sound familiar? When we become one with Christ to bear fruit, we get deeply connected with Him like a wild apple tree trunk getting fitted, connected with branches, and it bears fruit. Now, in John 15, it uses a similar analogy with the vine and the branches. And the branches are what we would see as vines now, but that's connected to the main trunk, which is calling the vine. But anyway, the Lord is the main vine, right? But we, when we're connected with Him, when we're one with Him, we will bear fruit, just like a grapevine does. It's an amazing thing. You see, to the degree your interconnectedness is one and one and one at deeper and deeper levels with Christ, abiding in Him, that's what it says in John 15, that's to hang around or to marinate in Him. The more we do that, you will bear much fruit, the Bible says, for apart from me, you can do nothing, in John 15, 5. It's not about making fruit. You know, we could have those wild apple tree trunks, we could just take off all the wild, and their old branches and their old wild apples that were no good, and just knock them all off. Then we can make out of wax some beautiful apples and hang them up by the string and have them nicely spray painted. And from afar, it looks like a very vibrant, juicy apple orchard, except for one thing. That's making fruit, not bearing fruit. And you try to take a bite of that wax apple, what are you going to get? A very bad taste in your mouth. It doesn't work that way. But we try to do that in the Christian life. We try to act loving, act kind, act humble, act. We try to do the stuff. We try to work at it like the Pharisees said we needed to do. But we don't call each other Pharisees. We don't call ourselves Pharisees. But my friends, I'm telling you, when you start trying to live an imitative life and stay there, now we might start that way. We have passages that say that, be imitators of me, but that's for beginner Christianity. That's for literal children, as moms and dads model good behavior, model character, and know how to picture it, but it goes deeper than that. You don't live there. You want to go deeper. And I'm just saying that the more you connect deeply into the vine or into the apple tree trunk, the more you dive deeply into the waters of the Lord and saturate and marinate yourself in Him, you will bear fruit. And what fruit will you bear? Galatians 5 tells us the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and even self-control. Self-control is not trying to muster up the ability to resist sin and act right and muscle it through and be a good soldier. But we have so many people who are trying to live the Christian life that way, and they are exhausted and frustrated. What we need to understand is the Lord simply wants us to understand our oneness with Him, abide with Him, hang with Him, have ongoing conversation with Him, dive deeply into His love letters, the Bible, with Him, not because we have to, but because we want to. He specifically said, you search the Scriptures because in them you think you have life, but the Scriptures point to me. That's why all of my messages are portraits of God. The Scriptures are pointing to Him, pointing to Him, pointing to Him. And the more I hang with Him, the more I talk with Him, the more I take on His characteristics, kind of like osmosis, It's the way of the Spirit rather than working it by the flesh. Are you getting this? Oh, I hope so. The Lord wants you to bear fruit. He wants you to die to the law. The Pharisees expanded on the law, over 600 things to try to do. No, die to it. Let me read you that passage again in Romans 7, verses 4, with these illustrations in mind. Therefore, my brethren, you also were made to die to the law through the body of Christ. That means becoming one, connected to the body of Christ, so that you might be joined to another, to him who was raised from the dead, in order that we might bear fruit for God. So what does it look like? Simply this. Love, joy, peace, patience, all those fruits of the Spirit, they're byproducts of abiding in Christ. When we get squeezed, it comes out because we're so saturated with those things. When we hang around with the Lord and understand our oneness and walk in our oneness with him, we receive his love for us, and we receive it to the point where we're filled and it just leaks out and gets squeezed out in tough circumstances. We receive his love. We receive his joy. We receive his peace, his patience, his kindness, his goodness, his faithfulness, his gentleness, his self-control. We receive it. When we receive it, it just saturates our very being, so that when life squeezes us, all that stuff squirts out. You don't have to drum it up, make it happen, fake it. It just flows. The more you're one with Christ, abiding in him to bear much fruit. Wow. Well, it's time to land this plane, come to number 10, the 10th of our journey through this portrait of God as our fruitful oneness. The Bible says this over in John chapter 17, verses 20 through 21, back to the priestly prayer, that we are one with God in Christ as a testimony. One with God in Christ as a testimony. Listen to these words from the scripture. I do not ask on behalf of these alone, Jesus is saying, but for those who also believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, even as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us. We saw that earlier. So that the world may believe that you sent me. My friends, our oneness with God and Christ and with each other is a testimony to the world that something supernatural, something otherworldly is taking place. That we can have a love for one another even though we're incredibly diverse. The Lord has created us with diversity, not division. When we get so insecure and so accusative of others because they're different from us, division erupts. But the Lord doesn't want us to respond that way. He doesn't want us to be that insecure that we criticize others, point at others, separate ourselves from others with division. He wants us to embrace the diversity. He's a creative God. That's why we call him the Creator. And in that diversity, we can walk in unity, but not uniformity. Uniformity is going to a symphony concert and seeing 80 tubas on stage playing middle C in 4/4 time single notes. Bop, 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 bop. That's uniform. You're going to pay $100 for that symphony orchestra in that concert? No. Unity is different than uniformity, because unity is saying, you know what? We need diversity for the beauty. That same concert has all kinds of different instruments among the 80. You got all kinds of woodwinds, all kinds of brass, all kinds of percussion, all kinds of string instruments. They're different. It's diverse. They're even playing different notes. But they're notes that work together to create a beauty that's unbelievable. Now, there's some things you have to be uniform on, some basics. Same piece of music in the same key, in the same tempo, same conductor. There's some basics. And so in the Christian life, we got the core cardinal doctrines of the faith. and we need to be uniform on those. But there's a whole lot of other things where we're diverse. But that's how beauty and harmony is formed. That's what we pay $100 a ticket for, to hear the symphony concert, my friend. I end with this one last illustration. A friend of mine told me he was in the Coast Guard and they had uniforms, and boy, you had to be taught how to make, you know, do that uniform. There's so many different things. Also instructions for how to, their barracks ought to be, how the beds were made, everything, except for the pillows. They came, he was, you know, a recruit, and they was there in the barracks. All the guys were figuring it out and helping each other, but said, wait a minute, what do we do with the pillows? We've got to have everything exactly the same, but the manual doesn't say anything about the pillows. Is it flat on the bed? Is it leaning up against the back? Is the open end on the right, or is the open end on the left? How are we supposed to do that? And there was no way. Well, we don't know, but they got to be the same. We know that. What are we going to do? They just had to make a decision as a barracks. And it just so happened maybe the other barracks didn't do it the same way. But when he became an officer, the officers asked him, the commander said, you have any questions? Yeah, what's the deal about the pillows? Oh, yeah, that's intentional. We want to make sure that people know how to get along with each other when there's not something so precise. That builds unity. I love that. There are a lot of pillow issues in the Christian life. Be gracious. Be one with God and Christ as a testimony and with each other. Well, Lord, thank you again for this journey. What a journey it's been. Oh, you are our fruitful oneness indeed. May we walk in that and embrace it and be transformed. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm Mark Gonzalez, and I hope you'll check out markpg.org. Until next time, fall in love with the Lord, our fruitful oneness.